Jesus has made you both priests and kings unto your God. Amen. So, is our portion in this material world? No, our portion is in Him. But He goes on to say, verse 23, take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Moses warns him, take heed, pay attention. Pay attention. Don't be making something else your God. Verse 24, for Yahweh your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. One of the compound names of God is Elkanun, and it means God is jealous. Not like a teenage girl is jealous of her boyfriend or vice versa, but God is jealous because God is always trying to protect His covenant with you. Amen? Verse 25, here's where it gets a little tough. When you beget children and grandchildren, have grown old in the land, and act corruptly, and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke Him to anger. He's telling them, you're going to do it. You're going to do evil in the sight of God. You're going to have children. You're going to have grandchildren. And you're going to provoke His wrath. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but you will be utterly destroyed. You still want to cross over? You're going to be destroyed when you cross over because you're going to forsake God. Let's keep going. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Let me say something about America today. Christianity is under attack. Okay? Make no mistake about it. Socialism, and I'm going to preach this a little bit this morning. Socialism is immoral in the fact that it takes the individual right away. We've seen that. We've seen that in this nation. Remember the man in Washington or wherever he's from? He owned a bakery. And he did not believe in same-sex marriage, so he refused to bake a cake. That's his individual right. That's his right. Okay, but yet he's probably bankrupt by now from having to defend himself in court. He should have never had to defend himself. But for the sake of tolerance, you've got to give up individual freedoms. Now, Moses has told the children of Israel, because God's told him, he said, listen, this is what you're going to do when you cross over. So we've all been in difficult times. We're in difficult times now. But look at the next verse, verse 29. But from there, from that place where you've provoked my wrath, from that place where I have now dispersed you into all the world, remember, God destroyed Jerusalem and dispersed the children of Israel in 70 AD. But from that place where you've been knocked down, he says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with your whole heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them. Verse 29 again. But from there, from that place you've been knocked down, from that place that you may have felt like you failed God, seek God. Don't run from God. And seek Him with your whole heart. One of the things I heard Carolyn say today said, don't be binging on Netflix. You ought not even have Netflix in your house. after they portrayed Jesus as being gay, and now they've come out with a new movie that exploits children's sexuality because there's a group in California that wants to make pedophilia normal? As God's people, we still got next Saturday is Yom Teruah, the blowing of the trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. That announces we got 10 days of awe. So we've got, 6 days now left? 6 more days left in the 30 days of Teshuvah plus 10, so we got 16 days left. We need to get serious. I'm preaching my message. We need to get serious about God for the next 16 days and continue to seek Him right up until the election. Amen? And like Carolyn said, we're not going to fear the results of the election. God's still on the throne. But you know what? We need to do our part. Amen? Glory to God. Seek Him with your whole heart. Amen? He's the answer to everything. Glory to God. Stand up. He's deserving of our praise this morning. For no other reason than He's still on the throne. Amen? Father, we love You. We praise You. We magnify You. We glorify You. There is none like You in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we invite You, Lord, to be enthroned in the praises of Your people this morning. And Father, I just pray right now that You let Your anointed presence, that hiding place, let Your anointed presence hide us and destroy yokes and lift burdens. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said, Amen.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, needing Your soul. I know a place where mercy flows, take the stains, make it whiter than snow. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes it come alive. Living water that brings a dead light. Oh, we're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. Let's get washed by the water, washed by the water, rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river. You will be changed. Let's go down, down, down to the river. We'll go the same. I've seen it move in my own life. Took me from dust and roads into paradise. All of my dirt, all of my shame, drowned in the streams that have made me born again. Like a tide, it is rising up deep inside a current that moves and makes it come alive. Living water that brings a dead light. Oh, we're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. Let's get washed by the water, washed by the water, and rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river. You will be changed. Let's go down, down, down to the river. Let's go down, down, down to the river. You
face. What holds your heart? What stirs your soul? What matters come to mind? The cares you keep, the thoughts you think, it's not all wasted time. Seeking you will find. Joy still comes in the morning.
Freedom for the captives, mercy for the broken. shattered darkness. Light arrives and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us hear it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, you scatter darkness. Light arrives and heaven opens. Holy Spirit, let us see it. When you speak, the church awakens. We believe the change is coming. Holy Spirit, let us see it.
Awaken in this moment, Spirit. moving in harmony. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you.
Yeah. And every
Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
So we have in about 80.
God will supply. He's got you covered. Amen. 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 God will supply all of our need. Now I set that offering plate there because I know that we have really good givers in here. And you get antsy with me when I don't take up the offering at the beginning. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and preach the message. And then we'll take up the offering. So just hold on to it. Okay? You put it back up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She's coming. Miss Debbie's are coming. Huh? No. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We don't really have to read this. This is just my preamble to the message, okay? Jesus. What? All right, it's my service from this point on. Okay? Everybody, you know that? Hallelujah. Jesus is going to teach a parable here. He's going to teach a parable about the Word of God, and he's going to teach us a parable about hearts. But I want you to put your, you know, I want you to be a student this morning. All right? I want you to put your student hat on. I know that some of you know everything. You know? And you know, bless her heart, I know a young lady. She's all of 21, and she knows everything. And if you don't think so, you just ask her, you know. And but she's been to liberal colleges, okay. And so she made a statement in front of me, that we had a Nazi in the White House. Oh, man. Oh. So I said to her, you really ought to do some research on what a Nazi is before you make a statement like that. But she's such a know-it-all, it offended her that I thought that she didn't know anything about a Nazi. Obviously she doesn't. Okay, but I'm going to get to a point here in a minute. Jesus is teaching, he's teaching students. The disciples were called in Hebrew Talmudim. They were students. A Jewish idiom is, you know, it was very important for a disciple to be covered in the dust of his rabbi. Okay? The teaching of his rabbi. Not literally that, you know, the rabbi throw dust on him, but that was just an idiom that you're covered with the teachings of the rabbi. But Jesus is going to tell us here that some of the word fell onto hard soil. And it couldn't get in the ground, so the birds of the air came and ate it. That seed is the Word of God, all right? Now, every teacher, no matter what class you take, what in high school or college, they're sowing seed. They have different methods, You know, some of them are lectures, all right? Some of them are more involved. They use visual effects, you know, to teach. Our little children, they especially do that with little children, younger children. But sometimes us older children learn better that way. But then Jesus said, but some fell into stony soil, and it tried to spring up, but because of the stones, it couldn't, the roots couldn't get down. And so it withered away when the sun came out.
Yeah.
But then he said, and some fell by the wayside. You ever seen a garden? You know, a nice garden? No matter how nice a garden it is, you know, on the edge are weeds. On the corners, there's usually weeds. And Jesus said, but this seed fell amongst the weeds. And the weeds choked it out. It couldn't get the nourishment because the weeds were eating the nourishment. And the seed died. But then he said, some fell onto good soil, right? Some fell onto good soil. That good heart, that heart that wants to learn, okay? And it produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold return. Amen? Now that's Jesus teaching on having a good heart to learn, amen? And to receive the Word of God. Scholars call that transformative learning or teaching, where what is being taught is transforming your life. Amen. And the only thing that can transform your life is words you receive. The Bible can't transform your life if you don't receive the Word of God. Now, Paul says that the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. It's the gospel. You hear the gospel gets in that good heart, and it causes you to repent, amen, to be saved, right? That's a word that transforms your life.
Amen.
No matter how many messages you hear from this pulpit, they're not going to transform your life if you don't become a doer of the Word of God. Amen. You know, I know a lot of folks that have been Christians for years, but they're still fighting the same battles that they fought for years because they're full of the Word of God, but they've never really received the Word into their heart to the point where they allowed it to transform their life.
Amen.
Amen. When Bishop Jakes gave the best analogy one time of a teacher, he said, the true test of a teacher is what the student does with what he's taught.
Amen.
I can tell you, I've taken classes where all I tried to do was pass. See, I'm a good test taker. I'm a bad student. Because I can prepare for a test. I can pass the test, but I haven't learned anything. 2 hours later, I forgot everything that I crammed for. Anybody else like that? But let me tell you about a different method of teaching that we're dealing with right now in America. I might get some hate mail for this one. You see, Adolf Hitler, who was a true Nazi, okay, he believed in what he called the big lie. He wrote a book called Mein Kampf, My Struggle, is what that means. And in Mein Kampf, he told the world everything he intended to do. Remember that? And then he moved his tanks and his army towards Czechoslovakia, into what is called the Sudetenland, a little area there that Czechoslovakia claimed, but the rest of the world, they really didn't think it belonged to Czechoslovakia. So you remember the world leaders, they went and talked to old Hitler, and they said, hey, listen, we'll let you keep the Sudetenland. You just call off the dogs, and we'll let you keep it. And you can see Neville Chamberlain. There's video clips you can get on YouTube of Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of England. He's waving this paper that Hitler signed saying, all right, we'll take the Sudetenland, but we won't go into Czechoslovakia. 6 months later, oh, man, what'd he do? He rolled in.
Yeah.
And World War II was on and ended up killing millions of people, including 6 million Jews. But here's the way Hitler taught. Hitler taught with the big lie. He said if you say it long enough and loud enough, they'll believe it. And that's what Black Lives Matter is. Today we're being taught by the big lie. Because the big lie will tell you that America is systematically racist. No. The whole system's not racist. There are some racists in America, but America is not inherently racist. And at the football game the other night, I didn't see it, but I Googled it later. They said that everybody joined arms, all the players joined arms. I seen a picture of it. And the fans booed them. Booed them bad. NFL's ratings was down 12% from last year's opening night. But you know what? And some of the personalities, the TV, ESPN personalities, who are as liberal as they come, they got mad at the fans. Listen, the fans weren't booing Black Lives Matter. We all know Black Lives Matter. We all know everybody's life matters. We know that we serve a God who believes in the sanctity of life himself. Amen? So all life matters. Whether that life is in the womb or whether that life is 80 years old. Speaking of 80 years old, I parasailed this week. Yeah, that's what I said. Whoa. But see, I knew something that I knew, I proved this week. I knew parasailing was the easy part. You're floating up in the air, it's so peaceful. I mean, it is so peaceful. Of course, I'm looking down because I know this guy eventually is going to dip my toes in the water. So I'm looking down because I don't want to be a top water plug for some shark, if you know what I mean. So I thought, I proved this. Parasailing's easy. Riding that banana boat through the waves is the tough part, trying to hold on. But thank God for wisdom and Dramamine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So anyway, so I think I've accomplished something, right? I parasailed at almost 64. So I'm on the elevator, and these two ladies get on. And one of them they're obviously mom and daughter because they just the spitting image of each other. One's just a hair taller, and we get to talking, and they said we're getting dressed. We're going out to eat and celebrate. It's mom's birthday. She's 87, and she parasailed today. I was like, oh, you know, trump me. Now let's get back to where I was at. The media, the universities, Hollywood wants you to believe that America is systematically racist. And that's why the people booed. They didn't boo because of Black Lives Matter. They believe that. Americans booed because they are tired of having their flag and their nation trampled and burnt to the ground. Now, I'm not going to tell you to look this up on the internet, okay? Because it's a little risque. But you know the comedian that's got the puppets? You know, Ahmed, the skeleton Ahmed? Yeah. I don't know what I was looking for. I was not looking for that, but it just popped up. Ahmed is being the moderator of a presidential debate between Ben Hyden and Ronald Grump, because he speaks with, I won't tell you to look that up, that's just a sidebar, but it was kind of funny, okay, to hear Ahmed doing it, but that's a sidebar. Let's get back to learning, okay? I don't even know why I said that, but But it was funny. It was a little comic relief there. But they didn't boo Black Lives Matter. I'm not against Black Lives Matter. But get on their website. Black Lives Matter is a front. It's a front for all the liberal folks to get money.
It's a Marxist.
Don't preach my message. I'm going there. Okay. All right. They are Marxists. All right. Now, let me show you something. Here's the part you really need to get. Turn with me, if you would. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll go through these quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10. And now I want to go to Luke real quick. All right, I'm getting there. 1621. You think voting is, you know, I've had people tell me, well, I don't vote. I never vote. What do you mean you don't vote? You need to vote. If you don't vote, you can't complain. I believe I voted every year since I was 18 years old. I might have missed one or two, but I'm pretty sure I was pretty consistent. You know, John F. Kennedy said, the ignorance of one voter in a democracy impairs the security of all.
Amen.
Ooh, JFK, that's pretty important. Voting's important. But being informed when you vote is even more important. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Now I, Paul, myself, verse 1, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in the presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. And though we walk in the flesh, how many know you walk in the flesh, right? Even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So God has given us weapons. Weapons for what? Weapons for a warfare. Amen? Because we are in a battle. We are in a struggle. Amen? Spiritually. Casting down arguments, verse 5. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now I want to say this. Our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty through God. And I want to put an asterisk by this. For pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I want to show you an example of this. Socialism. Socialism is immoral because it's a direct attack on individuals' freedom. Socialism takes what they think the masses want, and they project it onto the individual, like the man that didn't want to bake the cake. All right? They tried to force him to. All right? That was a direct affront on his individual freedom. God created you in his image. God gave you as individuals the freedom to choose. Amen. You have the free, as parents, we have the freedom to choose how our children are educated. Amen.
Amen.
I wish I would have done a better job with mine. Okay. Right. All right. So one of the arguments going on today, one of the strongholds is that socialism's a good thing. No, it's not. We know it's not. Did you know socialism is built on Karl Marx and Richard Engels' idea, which is, it's also communism.
Amen.
Okay? It's built on their ideas. And the idea was, if they could, and Lenin, Vladimir Lenin would do this later on. Lenin in Russia, they wanted a revolution. We've heard politicians talk about revolution. We need a revolution. Okay? All right, let me keep going. All right? Now, so Lenin, they wanted to get the workers. Because the concept was people doing the work, producing the goods, should be the biggest beneficiaries of what they're producing. So they went into the factories and they tried to recruit the workers. The workers were doing well. They were working. They were providing for their families. They didn't want to revolt. So Vladimir Lenin had to go out and get the bums. See, that's another thing with socialism. You know, our pilgrims, the pilgrims when they first come here, they almost starved to death. Because they came here with the idea of building a community and they'd all work together, but not everybody worked. And they almost started it. It wasn't until William Bradford said, okay, you take this 50 acres and you take this 50 acres and you farm it yourself. You work it yourself. Carolyn knows this. She owns her own business. Nobody treats your stuff like you treat it. Amen. Nobody works as hard as you do. See, I know we have employees. We have drivers. We have some guys. I trust them with my life. I have other guys, they keep me up at night sometimes. Huh? There's some guys, they go do their job no matter what happens that day. They get it done. We got other guys, if they develop a hangnail, I couldn't get that load. No, you couldn't get that load. You didn't want to get that load. Let's make it, that's you know, you tell me this. We know that if we give a guy two loads, he'll get him between 10 and 12 hours in a day. You give him two loads. But you only give him one, it takes him 8 hours. Figure that one out. See, in a socialist state, not everybody's going to work. Not everybody's going to want to work. So here's what happens. Okay, here's what happens. In a socialist government, everybody's got a job. Bernie might be the doorkeeper at Trump Tower. Okay? That'd be all right. I'd say the tips probably be pretty good. Okay, but then over here, me and Mike, they might want us to take care of the city sewage department. I ain't going to do that job. Bernie gets to hang out Trump Tower, and we got to clean this. No way. I ain't doing that job. So what happens when people refuse to do the job? Then you got to have a taskmaster. Oh. Now you got to have somebody with a whip. Now you're back into slavery. True slavery. Okay? So see, those arguments that we're being peddled by the big lie, our weapons are mightier. Because they're mightier through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Let me keep going here. I want you to go over to Luke with me real quick. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Now, Jesus, the disciples are going to ask him, teach us to pray. And he's going to say, well, pray in this manner. Luke chapter 11, page 1409. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. You're unique. They're declaring the Father's uniqueness, his other than. Amen. He says, Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is what true intercessory prayer is. It's praying for the kingdom of God to come as it is in heaven to the earth. Amen. That's why you hear me pray, Lord, there's no cancer in heaven. Let your kingdom come down on Miss Jean as it is in heaven. Amen. Cancer free. Amen. Intercessory prayer is not about you. It's about everybody else. Amen. You're not a true intercessor if you're going to God. Oh, God, I got to have more money. God, I'm tired of my kids being mean to me. Now, intercessory prayer is when you get in your prayer closet for a nation. When you repent for America murdering 70 million babies.
Amen.
Because we've served a God of humanism.
Amen.
It's my right. See, that's another big lie. It's my right. Well, what about that child's
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Man, I'm almost all over the place today. Now, so Jesus is going to teach him to pray. Then he's going to tell him, he said, a friend comes at midnight, and he said, he's banging on the door. You're asleep. You're like, what's that knucklehead doing out there? He said, man, I'm hungry. You got a loaf of bread. What? And Jesus says, you know, he's not going to get up and give him a loaf of bread. He's not going to get out of that warm bed on a cold night to get this nutcase, a loaf of bread, because he's hungry. Because they're friends. But because he keeps knocking and he won't go away, he's going to get up and give him a loaf of bread and get him on down the road so he can go back to bed.
Yeah.
And then Jesus is going to jump down verse 9. Let's pick it up in verse 9. He says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What Jesus is teaching here is to be persistent in prayer. Be consistent in prayer. That's been my weakness since I come back to God in 1990. I mean, 1 week I'm on fire in prayer. And the next 2 weeks I take off. Not because I want to. I just let the cares of this world build up to the point where, you know, I think I got to do this and I got to do that. I don't have time. Oh, you guys are looking at me like you never have done that. Huh? Okay, now I want you to get over to where I want you to go to. Remember, we was talking about the big lie. Okay? Verse 14. And he was casting out a demon. It was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all the armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Now, if you've never studied Jewish roots, you just read over this first part. He cast out a dumb spirit. In Matthew, I believe, 17, verse 22, there is a young boy that has a deaf and dumb spirit, and he keeps throwing him in the fire. And the disciples can't cast him out. And that's what Jesus said, this kind comes forth by nothing but prayer and fasting, right? So, Jesus casting out a mute spirit. And without the Jewishness of Jesus, we miss this. Because in the first century of Judaism, first century when Jesus lived, they believed when the Mashiach comes, when Messiah comes, he could do 4 miracles. Now, students, can you name those miracles? Raise the dead after they'd been dead more than 3 days. That's why he waits an extra day before he goes and gets Lazarus. He says, come on, guys, let's go get Lazarus. And they're like, oh, man, he stinks by now. No, Jesus was going to show them in a very powerful way, I am the one. I'm the Messiah. And what was this? What was the second one? A blind person who was born blind. Okay, if you were born blind. Okay, and Jesus does that, I think, in John 9. And then there was a third one. Heal leprosy. And the fourth one was cast out a deaf and dumb spirit. Because their tradition said that only the Messiah could cast out a deaf and dumb spirit, because you couldn't cast one out until he tells you his name. Now we see Jesus doing that with the madman, the Gadarene, right? He's asking him, he said, what's your name? He said, we're legion, because there's lots of us. Okay, get in the pigs. And the pigs ran off a cliff. See, because demons, these disembodied spirits of these former giants that walked on the land, they crave to be, to have, to feel those feelings of humanity again. Okay? They crave fear. They like to get a person and make them fearful. Jesus says, yeah, you can go into the pigs. Oh, I didn't tell you they're going to run off the cliff and drown, so you ain't going to have any host again. I think that was a pretty slick trick myself. But anyway, what was Jesus doing by healing this man? This child that was deaf and dumb. Again, in a powerful way, he was connecting himself to Daniel 7 and the scripture concerning the Son of Man. Remember, Daniel says, I saw one like the Son of Man, and he was given a kingdom that would never be destroyed, an eternal kingdom. Amen? So by doing this miracle, Jesus was connecting himself to the Jewish belief of the Messiah being the Ben Adam, or the Son of Man. Amen? Now, the kingdom of God, the kingdom given to Jesus Christ, is not built on the big lie. It's built on truth. And truth you know will set you free. Not truth, but truth you know. Truth you hear, truth you let in your heart will set you free. Not truth, because I can preach truth to you all day long, but if you don't believe it or want to believe it because because your daddy told you this or grandma told you that, you know, there's a lot of Christians in church today, and their whole belief system is built on what somebody told them years ago, when it ought to be built on a 66 book of truth.
Amen.
Amen. So the man, the strong man here, he's got his armor on, right? What's Paul tell us? Paul says we don't war against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And what's the first thing he tells us? I believe it's that belt of truth. Amen? That's the foundation. You've got to have that belt of truth on. And then you got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, Carolyn said something today about hiding places. You know, I think that's what the breastplate of righteousness is. See, because your righteousness was as filthy rags. That's what Isaiah said. But then he said, oh, but now. He said, you once were as scarlet, but now you're white as snow. That reminds me of an old song. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flow, lose all their guilty stains. See, our righteousness was as filthy rags, but we get to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what that means? That means we get to put on Jesus. We're hidden in him. He's our hiding place. There's all kinds of scriptures about God being your hiding place. See, no matter what accusation the devil tries to bring against you, you're hidden in him.
Amen.
You're in that righteous place. I had people tell me, you old rank sinner, you old divorcee, you can't preach the gospel no more. They didn't told me God can't use you. And I got me a toothbrush and I scrubbed the toilets at New Life Victory Center, was called in. And then that, being still young and full of something, I don't know what I was full of, but I was like, yeah, you said God couldn't use me. He's the cleanest toilet you ever saw. Yeah. And then one day I seen this. Nah, I ain't going to tell you that. Yeah. See, we have that breastplate of righteousness. Accusations don't mean anything. You know, I don't know if our president knows it or not. But God has hidden him. Somehow God has put that righteousness around him. Nobody could put up with what he's put up with. Let's get back to the big lie. They just keep telling it and telling it and telling it, hoping you believe it, believe it, believe it. Russia, 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 impeach, impeach, impeach. Now we're going to commit mail fraud. Let's get back to our armor. We got a helmet of salvation. Woo, glory to God. See, that helmet of salvation, you know, the Hebrew word yasha, it's where we get the word Yeshua. Yeshua means God saves or God is salvation. Yasha is the word for salvation. And you know, we in the Christian church of the 21st century, we say salvation is being born again, right, Bernie? And it is being born again. But it's so much more, because the pictographic meaning of yasha or salvation is to be delivered by the hand of God, to have your enemy destroyed by God. Therefore, you cast your eyes upon your deliverer. You see David all through the Psalms saying, deliver me from my enemies. I will praise you. Amen?
Amen.
I think God delivers us daily from things that we don't even notice. Amen? And then what else is there? Oh, there's a shield of faith. Amen. The shield of faith, whereby, Paul says, we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen.
Yes.
And what's the devil try to do? Doubt and unbelief. You ain't going to make it. I'll tell you the best one. The best one the devil tries to use against Christians is you can't afford to tithe. Huh? The church don't need money. I ain't trying to get more money out of you. I'm just thinking about it. You just be honest with yourself. Don't raise your hand. But how many times did you want to? I've done it. I only done it once. Cost me dearly. Cost me about $6,000 extra for keeping that tithe one time. You know, and you can use the tithe. You can keep your tithe. But the Bible, the book of truth, it says, but when you bring it back, add 20% to it. Oh, really? Yeah. Better give up at 10%. That way it won't cost you 30. Just saying. But that shield of faith, where you can quench all those fiery darts of doubt and unbelief. Amen? And then he says, pick up the sword of the Spirit. Now I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to finish in a flurry here. Did you know, I wrote this down. I didn't even get to my notes. Ephesians chapter 6. 1654, is that it? Thank you, brother. Yeah, he was wanting to know. He was really wanting to get up the nerve to say, What verse? Alright, look here. Look here. He says, let's pick up in 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now keep that in mind. I will keep my finger up so I don't forget. Remember, the strong man had his armor on, right? In that parable. But a stronger one came, defeated him, took all his goods, right? Let's just say the strong man, the original strong man in that parable, the first guy, was a Christian. He's in the armor of God. And one stronger, we're going to make him out to be the devil, old Slewfoot. He comes. And you know, all Slewfoot has are lies and deceit. And when you get to believe in the lies and the deceit, let me say this to you ladies. Got mostly ladies here. I have met, in 25 years of ministry, I have met many women who did not have the ability to make a decision because some hairy-legged, unsaved, uncircumcised Philistine of a man, that's what David told Goliath, put them down and made them feel worthless. See, don't believe the lie. I'm just trying to show you how this works. And then women get to believe in a lie, and then they can't even function. And some women stay in abusive relationships because they don't think they can make it without that relationship. Are you kidding me? It's tough. I knew a woman, I used to minister to her every other month. She would be great for a month. She'd come to church, she'd worship God, and then I wouldn't see her for a week, and then she'd come dragging in. She'd be crying and carrying on, you know, snotting and all that. And I'm like, oh, don't get that on me, you know. But anyway, and she'd say, and what happened was she had an abusive father. He abused her mentally and physically and sexually. And so, but after he would abuse her, then he would bring her gifts, you know. And then she married a man just like her father. And then he would bring her gifts. So what happened was she would get to feeling down. She'd go to the truck stop, pick up some hairy leg, you know, guy, and, you know, take him back home. And then the next day, she still felt, she still didn't feel any better. And now she had the guilt of her sin. Because she believed a lie. That's all the enemy has, is lies and deceit. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. Amen. And in the day we live in now, because you know, you say Black Lives Matter. Well, yeah, that's a good point, yeah. But so does mine, you know. So do the unborn in the womb. Sounds like a good idea. But see, they're pumping this big lie in America to divide America. Because they want America to be a socialist nation. Which flies in the face of our Declaration of Independence, which I have written down, and I was going to read it, but I'm not. I want to show you. I want one more point. I want to show you. I want to make my point again that I do not believe America is systematically a racist nation. Inherently racist. All right? First of all, slavery goes clear back to the Romans. You know, even before the Romans, the Assyrians, you know. The Assyrians, you know, slavery's been with us a long time. It didn't start in America. Good grief. Just pick up a history book. All right? So, I want to read this. Here's why I don't believe this. In a national poll, In 1958, this poll asked people if they approved or disapproved of interracial relationships. And in 1958, how many of you think that the percentage was pretty high on the disapproval? In 1958, it was 90% disapproved of interracial relationships. Today, the same survey, 90% of the people approved. Just by that data tells me that America is not systematically racist. Amen. We cannot believe the lie. Or like one guy said, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Amen. Now, I want to get back to this. Get back to our weapons. We've got 16 days till Yom Kippur. What was Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur was the one day of year that the high priest went into the temple or the tabernacle of Moses with the blood of bulls and goats, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant, okay? And if God received the sacrifice, then the sins of Israel were forgiven for a whole year. How many of you know that on that day, all eyes were on the temple? Huh? Is he going to come out? Now, I don't know. I haven't really documented it, okay? There's some people say they actually, he had bells on, so they could hear the bells. He was moving and the bells would ring, okay? Yeah. And that they actually tied a rope around his leg. Yeah. Just in case the sacrifice wasn't received and they had to drag the old boy out. Yeah. Now, I've read that, but I haven't verified it, okay? It sounds good, but, okay? I'd like to have some sources, some older sources then. Sounds good, though, okay? So, we have 16 days until Yom Kippur, okay? We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for a high priest to take the blood of bulls and goats in because how many of you know that tabernacle of Moses, that temple was made after the image of the one in heaven?
Amen.
And when Yeshua entered heaven with his blood, he sprinkled it once and for all on the mercy seat for all humanity. We don't need another high priest. We've got one. And his blood is eternal and it's still washing and cleansing today. Amen. But our job now, 16 days of Yom Kippur, that probably is, I don't know how many days, it's 50 some days to the election. We need to do this. Paul says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I never even talked about the gospel of peace. You got an extra minute? You know, I was reading this week. I seen that it was a guy had a flag, he had an American flag, and he had license plates with the snake coiled up, the "Don't Tread on Me" snake. You know, and I thought about this, you know, being from Redneckville and being a hunter, you know, one time I was turkey hunting and we worked evening shift at Ashland Oil and we drove out to Zaleski State Forest in MacArthur, and I left my boots behind, and it's springtime, old beady eyes starting to crawl out, you know, don't like snakes at all. And I forgot my boots, and all I had on was a pair of little moccasin-like things, you know. And in turkey hunting, it's usually warm, so I wear thin camouflage. And just to set the record straight, I did kill a turkey that morning, but let me tell you, I was careful where I put my feet. But if I had my boots on, wouldn't have mattered. See, I have peace. Because I'm no longer an enemy with God.
Amen.
I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Wherever I walk, I know God's got me covered. Amen. You know what God told Joshua? He said, every place the sole of your foot will touch, I'm going to give that land to you. And if you go to the hill of circumcision, Joshua had to circumcise all them guys. Sheesh. Sorry, Joshua. Leaders got to make the tough decisions. But at the hill of circumcision, there's actually an ancient footprint that they took stones and they laid it out in the form of a sandal. And archaeologists have recently uncovered those. They found two or three in Israel. That was just, for me, that just a symbol that Joshua and the children of Israel believed everything that God told them. Amen. Every place the foot of your, the sole of your foot shall touch, I'm going to give it to you. So I'm going to go home and I'm going to put my foot in the backside of my adult children. And I'm going to say, God said that every place the sole of my foot shall tread, he's going to give. That probably won't work, but. I don't know, you know, you never know. Worth a try. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to keep going here. Let me finish. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to continue to pray. Get in that prayer closet. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Amen. But persevere. Stay in the fight. We have a tendency in our lives, we're going through a hard spot. We draw close to God, and the minute we're out of that tough spot, whew, glad that's over. Am I the only one guilty? We got to stay in the fight. Amen. We're well prepared. Truth always trumps lies. Glory to God. Let's take communion. Jackie went downstairs and prepared it. Took all that, you know, time to do that. Come on, Charles, David. You and Mike, put them to work. You can't just be served around here. Thank you. Hallelujah.